Okay, well, let's do a little review because we went through this chapter last week, 1 Corinthians 6, and we got about halfway through, and so we got a little bit left to finish up. So let's just for the sake of memory, go back and look through. Let's just read the whole chapter, 1 Corinthians 6:1. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to law one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, ye do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly, and the belly for the meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So just as a quick review for the first half, I mean, we talked about, you know, this is... I call it a come on man passage. You know, you can't get along with it if we can't resolve our issues with brothers in the church without going to law, man. We've got some issues. So you know, we're all human. We all suffer from this human condition of the flesh, and sometimes we make bad decisions or bad actions because of our flesh. Okay. But didn't Christ die for us, even though we didn't deserve it, even though we were sinners? And, you know, we talked about that in Antioch, we were first called Christians. We're supposed to be like Christ. And Christ forgave us. And we talked a little bit about these kind of strange passages where it says that we would... And we looked at this Sermon on the Mount, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. If, you know, somebody strikes you in the cheek, turn the other cheek. But this idea that we're going to judge people, and that's I got to get to my text. Know ye not that the saints shall judge the world? What is that about? I don't really know. But we read in Daniel, the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever. This is at the end of the second coming. Until the Ancient of Days came. And judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. So somehow we're involved in this Revelation 20, where the dead stand before God and they plead their cause. And the books were opened, which I think is the Word of God. And somehow we have some role in that. I don't get that, but it's, we're going to judge. Know ye not, do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And the point is, if we're going to judge, if the world shall be judged by you, are ye not unworthy to judge the smallest matters? And the answer is, yeah, we kind of should be, especially amongst brothers, amongst people in the church. Then he says this, know ye not that we shall judge angels? And we looked at this, for if God spared not the angels that sin, but cast them to hell and deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. And then in Jude, verse 6, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the last day. And somehow we have some role in judging these angels that fell. Interesting. So, if then ye have judgments of things pertaining to the life, this life, it's interesting because it says you can pick the dumbest person in your church, the most least esteemed church person in your church, should be able to see, know right from wrong. Should be able to go, yeah, you did wrong. You need to apologize, or you did wrong. And then if that doesn't work, just accept the wrong. Well, by gosh, I've got my rights. Okay. We can work through this. Just accept the wrong. And we're going to look at the same passage in Romans 14. Is what Paul is talking about in verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 6, and we'll get to that. So I'm trying to get to where I left off. Verse 11. Okay, we talked about how that if you verse 9, know ye not that the unrighteous, so if you're going to be unrighteous, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, what's the kingdom of God? It's not a place. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So the kingdom of God is likened unto the fruit of the Spirit. It's evidenced by what we believe. Either righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Well, if you're unrighteous, then you won't inherit. You won't live in that. And then we looked at the lists that it mentioned here of not acts, but of people. And we know these are unsaved people because verse 11 said, and such were some of you before you got saved, because but ye are washed, and ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. And we looked at this passage in, is it Galatians? Yeah. And this I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. So being led of the Spirit means you are not consumed with repetitive negative thinking and where that takes you. The works of the flesh. Now this is works. These aren't people. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it's talking about unsaved people. This is talking about things that our flesh wants to do, even though we're saved. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in the past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So, back up to verse 16 for the context. This I say, Christian, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you walk in your flesh, this is where you end up. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another, taking each other to court. And that's because we are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in us. So we got through verse 11. And verse 12. So all things are lawful, but all things are not expedient. What the heck does that mean? Well, we looked at that in Romans chapter 14, where it talked about, we looked at that passage where it talked about eating. If thy brother be not grieved, be grieved with thy meat. So in Romans 14, it gives you this example. People are offering meat to idols. And we talked about this last week too. I mean, these idols are stone, they're wood. In fact, the Bible says in several places, these idols hear not, they see not, they touch not, and they're just like the people that worship them. They don't hear, see, understand anything. So they're offering meat to these idols. And then Christians are coming along going, guys want steak tonight? Let's get some steak. And they're buying this meat that's offered to idols. Well, if you were a part of this idolatry and you accept Christ as your Savior, this is offending you. This is like, oh my gosh, what are they doing? This is meat offered. Well, you know, it's nothing, because you have that level of maturity. But some people don't. So he says, all things are lawful. It's okay to eat this meat. There's nothing about it that's bad. But all things are not expedient. And so what it's trying to say is, it's not profitable. It's not profitable. If this is causing a brother to be offended. Now, I'm going to give an example that we have something in our culture called alcohol. And clearly in the Bible, drunkenness is a sin. So what is the deal with alcohol? Well, I grew up, you know, man, speaking of alcohol, I grew up in a legalistic environment where, man, you didn't smoke, drink, or chew, or go with girls that do. You know, I grew up with, rock music was bad. Most television, we couldn't watch Love American Style, which no one even knows what that is, or Laugh-In. Those were, man, if you got caught watching that, you were in trouble. And I grew up with this idea that this is all taboo. Okay. Is alcohol a sin? Uh, Kind of hard to... Drunkenness, yes. Okay. All things are lawful, but is it expedient? Is it profitable? No, it's not. So, you know, if you... I mean, I tell a joke. It's funny, not funny, but what's the difference between a Lutheran and a Baptist? A Lutheran will speak to you in the liquor store. So, there, you know... Yeah. So here's the deal. We talk about issues that shouldn't even be issues. Eating the meat to an offered to an idol, just don't. It's not. You know what? There's nothing wrong with this meat. But go get your meat at the market like everybody else, and not be a problem. Not cause a brother to stumble. Not be an issue. Be considerate of what you're doing. And I'm not talking legalism here. I'm not talking, yeah, follow this rule. You got to do this because, no, I'm talking about be charitable. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. You know what that is? That's your flesh. Your flesh wants to rule where the Spirit of God is supposed to rule. And that is what we are talking about when it says, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly, and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. And then he shifts gears here. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And as we will see in a few verses, the context of that is our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now let me get down here to where I'm at in my notes. First Corinthians. Oh, there it is. And we've already read this in 1 Corinthians. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? We looked at that in 1 Corinthians 3. Romans chapter 13. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. So you want to talk about what you want to eat or what you want to drink? How about just putting on the Lord Jesus Christ? By the way, I can't show you my phone because it's over there recording this. But I put verses on my wallpaper because that is probably one of the most demonic those telephones. I mean, you're just what you put into your gates, and that verse is there. Put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. It's an action we have to do to walk honestly in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness and chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, not in doing things your way and you don't like it, too bad. That is not the body of Christ. All things are lawful. Okay, we get it. But all things are not expedient. All things aren't profitable for others. And that, you know, look upon what is good for others. Here's the deal. You want to split hairs, you want to talk about preferences, you want to talk about this and that. Well, look at verse 14. And God hath both raised up the Lord. God's power raised up Jesus from the dead, and will, future tense, also raise up us by his own power. And I would say that is present and future tense. But for the future tense, just so you know, and you can read the last chapter in the book and see how this turns out. 1 Corinthians 15, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, which could blow right now, and that would be just fine with me. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on corruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, but the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, based on that, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We win. That's the promise. Okay, so then he goes on. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? And we talked about this when we talked about chapter 2, baptism. When you accept Christ as your Savior, two things happen. Number one, you are in Christ. You are in the body of Christ. You become a part of his body. And then you are also regenerated. The Holy Spirit comes and dwells in you. That's born again. You are born again spiritually. So I am in Christ and Christ is in me. That is what we are picturing in baptism. We're going to baptize today. Yes, we are picturing the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, but we are also picturing that in the water you are placed in Christ, and Christ is in you. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. And this is going back and addressing this issue of fornication in the church that we saw in chapter 5. For he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Second Corinthians 6, verses 17 and 18. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now, I told you I didn't understand how we were going to judge in the end. Now we'll judge, as it says here, you shall judge the world. And know ye not that we shall judge angels? It says we will do that. I don't really grasp how that's going to take place, but the Bible says it, so it will take place. Well, this is another little phrase that I don't fully grasp. If you're a Christian, you have received Christ. I received Christ as a 7-year-old. And so I receive the gift of salvation. Well, here, and this passage is talking about fellowship, how we shouldn't have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. We shouldn't have light and darkness. They don't mix. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. So I receive Christ. Does Christ receive me? Not if I'm walking in the flesh. Am I still saved? Yes. My soul is sealed. But he wants to receive us. Not only does he want to receive us, he will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. Now that ends chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians. Chapter 7 starts with this verse. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. That's not talking about legalism. That's not talking about putting on an act. That's talking about living your life according to what the Bible says. By faith and obedience. That's what God requires of us. Let us cleanse ourselves. Let us walk in the light. Let us walk in the Spirit. And then we get to the last few verses. Verse 18. Flee fornication. Gee, what does he mean by that? I don't know. It's a two-word phrase. Flee fornication. You know, in Genesis 39, there's a story of Joseph when he was in Egypt. And, he's going through the ringer there. And an Egyptian named Potiphar puts him in charge of his house. He's a servant. And it said that Potiphar's wife, it's like, hey, Joe, how about we, and Joe's like, oh, no, I can't. Okay, so one time, I mean, it says clearly, she wants him to lie with her. Not lie to her, lie with her. So one time, old Joe comes in the house, and where is everybody? Everybody's gone. Except for Mrs. Potiphar, and she's like, here's what we're going to do. And she put her hands on him. You know what he did? He didn't try to talk his way out of it. Really? He didn't try to rationalize and say, well, you know, we should probably shouldn't. No. He fled. He ran. And did I put that in here? I didn't. Okay. Turn to Proverbs chapter 6. And I'm going to read you a couple passages in Proverbs that are very insightful. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 20. 20 through 32. My son, keep thy father's commandments, forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thy heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Why? To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of the strange woman, because she wants you to lie with her. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet be not burned? So he that goeth in to his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her shall not be innocent. Men do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold, and he shall give all the substance of his house. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. Wow. Now, we've been married 41 years. And I can say that I have honored my vows. And I'm pretty sure, you know, I could tell Anita, oh, I got a confession to make. I bought another guitar. I did that, you know, and, you know, we can work through that. Coming in and saying, you know what? I slept with another woman. But it meant nothing. It meant nothing. It was... It's not going to work. It's kind of that one thing that, yeah, we're gonna have a problem here. Flip over to the very next chapter, and Proverbs 7, and I love and hate this story. Because in verse 6 it says, "For at the window of my house I looked through my casement, and behold, among the simple ones I discerned the youths, among the youths, a young man void of understanding." That's a big clue. "Passing through the street near her corner, he went the way to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot, subtle of heart." Is there any doubt about what's going on here? This guy knows the way. And here this harlot comes out and meets him. "She's loud and stubborn, her feet abide not in her house. She is, and now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows." She's religious. She goes to church. "Therefore came I forth to meet thee." He shouldn't have been there. "Diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry and carved works with fine linen of Egypt. I perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love to the morning. Let us solace ourselves with love. For the goodman is not at home. He's gone on a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield." He shouldn't have been listening to her. "With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, and as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dark strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways, go not astray to her path, for she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is a way to hell, going down to the chambers of death." You gotta flee. You gotta flee. Okay, here's some things we're told to flee. Flee fornication. If you need any more explanation about what that's about, we can meet privately. Flee fornication. 1 Corinthians 10:14. "Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee idolatry." 1 Timothy 6:10-11. "For the love of money is the root of all evil. While some have coveted after, have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things." It's not just money, it's the love of money, and it causes you, if you covet after that, to compromise your faith, to err from the faith. And not only that, but you pierce yourself through with many sorrows. Flee these things. And then my favorite is in James 4. Submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So fornication is a particular sin that is against your own body, which is the temple of the Holy Ghost. The last two verses, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. We are not our own. We have been bought, redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. So we should be glorifying God in our body and in our actions and our spirit, our attitude, which are God's. And this can only occur when we live in obedience to His Word and to His power. And here's what we all need. You know what we need? We need transformation. We need to be transformed. That's what our sanctification is, to be more like Christ. And we should be transformed. And Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, based on this, the mercy that God gave you, by the mercies of God. It's not unreasonable that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Be obedient to His Word, which is your reasonable service. And be ye not conformed to this world. Don't live like everybody else does. But be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. And the only way you're going to get your mind renewed is to be in that book. And let the water or the washing of the Word clean your mind out and help you think right. Amen. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Drop the mic. So that concludes chapter 6. Next week we're going to enter a fun chapter, because 1 Corinthians 7:1 starts with this verse, just as a little teaser. Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Really? Obviously, Paul had never seen this little neighborhood girl that I knew named Anita Condello. So this will be an interesting chapter to look at. Very, very practical, as the whole book is. But let's close in prayer and head into church. Lord, thank you for the teaching of your Word. Lord, help us to live according to it. Lord, help us to live by faith and obedience to what you've instructed us to do. Lord, help us to be holy. Help us to live according to your will in our lives, Lord. Help us to be transformed instead of conformed, Lord. And Lord, just help us to have victory over our flesh, not through our own power, but through the power of your Spirit and the power of the Word of God. And just speak to us now as we go into church, Lord. Speak to us through the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And we ask you all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Was that a Wayne? Yeah, was that a Wayne? Shipley. Wayne Shipley? Amen.
Candillo. Yeah.
Candillo.
Candillo.